Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pop That Mama podcast. In this episode, we have Carmen Roche from the Quantum Birth Doula organization. She's doing amazing work on social media, talking all about vaginal birth after cesarean, and I needed to have her on the podcast. I've had a lot of listeners request this episode, so I'm very excited to have Carmen on. As always, guys, get yourself comfortable and enjoy. Carmen, before I ask you to introduce yourself, please tell me, why should people listen to this episode?
So anyone that is planning a VBAC or a HVAC needs to listen to this episode, because there is a lot going on at the minute within maternity services where they don't fully believe that women, people can achieve VBACs, HVACs. And unfortunately, it's one of those things that you might even go in for a booking appointment, and in that first appointment, like what happened with myself when I went in for my first booking appointment after being pregnant with my third daughter, the comment that was given straight away from the midwife was, oh, so we're just going to book you in for another cesarean. And it's like, well, no, I'm planning a VBAC. Oh, yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen. So there's a lot of doubt. And that's why I feel that this episode is really important for anyone that has experienced a cesarean, for anyone that might not even be planning getting pregnant again, or they may be, they may not be, maybe they're already planning a VBAC, but anyone that is kind of experienced a cesarean would definitely benefit from listening to this episode, just so they can get a different overview from someone that has gone through it, from someone that has been through the system, successfully had their VBAC after two cesareans. And yeah, I just think it's really important. So I hope that helps.
Yeah, no, brilliant. You just mentioned briefly a bit about your story, but do you mind just sharing a little bit about what has led you to do specifically work with VBAC? And yeah, it would be interesting to hear your story and what happened.
Yeah, absolutely. So I experienced two cesareans. The first one was classed an emergency cesarean, which it wasn't, because my daughter was breech. And this was over 10 years ago. I went into the system, I was in labor. She was diagnosed that she was breech when I was already in labor. Every time leading up to my birthing day, the midwife kept saying, oh, you know, baby's head down, baby's head down. She wasn't head down. She had always been breech. When I look back and when I feel into positioning as to, you know, what was going on, I had a feeling that there was something up with the positioning, but I never voiced myself about it. So lo and behold, when I went into labor, yes, she was breech. And the obstetrician gave me two choices. You can either have her vaginally, but by the way, we don't have anyone trained to help assist or support a breech birth, or you can opt for a cesarean. So I was like, okay, right. I don't know anything about breech babies. As far as I'm aware, back then, I wasn't in this world. I wasn't in this line of work. I thought, okay, well, let me just go for a cesarean. But the thing that occurred was they ended up leaving me laboring for a long period of time. And then I went in for a few hours later for the cesarean. It was a pretty traumatic experience for me. And it left me feeling with that question of what's wrong with me? What's wrong with my body? Why did this happen to me? Why, you know, very much victim mode, which a lot of people obviously go through. And for me, it was very much that, you know, why me? Why is everyone else having their babies vaginally? Why am I having my baby cut out of me? And that was the big thing. And after that, I started talking to a few other mums and the traumas that they had experienced within birth. And I started thinking, you know what, like, I feel like I need to get into this line of work. I feel like I'm really good at listening. I really enjoyed speaking with them, helping women feel better, friends of mine feel better after their births. And that sort of kind of planted a little seed almost. I ended up doing a baby massage course and started off there postnatally. But in the postnatal period, like, you hear everyone's stories of how their births kind of go into different situations. And then I got thinking, I want to create more of an impact. This isn't cutting it. This literally is not cutting it. So I came away and then I got pregnant with my second daughter. And again, not as informed as what I am today, I decided that I wanted an elective cesarean because I felt like I needed to control the situation. I needed to control the outcome. I wanted to control the outcome so that I didn't go through the same journey that I went through, because that trauma was still very much connected to me. Had the elective cesarean, it was very healing. So I'm not saying I'm against cesareans, because I have had an elective one myself. Recovery wise, now having had a VBAC, it's like, I wish I'd done a VBAC the second time round, because it's completely like day and night. So anyways, after that second birth, I decided to train to become a perinatal educator. So learning everything about preparation for birth, pregnancy yoga, baby classes, all incorporated. And it was a long course of about a year. And we started seeing results, like within the classes, you know, people having great births, some of them still not 100%. And I was like, there's got to be something else. There's something missing here from the traditional approach, from the traditional blah, blah, blah that you teach people about birth. There's something deeper. And it wasn't until after COVID happened, after I experienced a third pregnancy, which later ended up being a miscarriage, an early miscarriage, that I hit rock bottom in a certain point. And at that point in time, after the miscarriage, my husband and I, we were trying, but we weren't trying to get pregnant. And it was that whole essence of what is going on. It hasn't been this difficult for it to happen before. What's happening? What's wrong with me? Again, very much the what's wrong with me. And then I came across personal development, and I came across a coach that was helping people with personal development, helping them with manifestation, with trauma and all sorts. And then from there, it led me into Tony Robbins, where I attended a few of his events online. And at the one event that I attended, which was probably about 6 months or so after I miscarried, we did this really powerful exercise, which was a visualization. And I visualized myself pregnant. I visualized myself having my VBAC, and it felt so real that I had literally tears running down my face. And I thought, oh my God, this is going to happen. And then afterwards, I came away from it, and 10 days later, I got my positive pregnancy test. I was like, what the actual fuck is going on?
Wow.
I feel like I'm onto something. This is powerful. So anyways, I continued exploring, and then obviously I got pregnant, and I thought, right, I need to dig into what the hell's going on in terms of my own mindset to see what's happening. Because obviously, being brought up in South Africa, we've got next level fears there from life that we've, you know, lived there, dangers that have happened there. Like, my body was on consistent high alert big time. So it's only natural that going into the first birth, it ended up being the birth that it was. I guess in a way, I look at it, I've made peace with it, because I know that sometimes things happen for a very specific reason. Life is always happening for us. And when we look at it, there'll always be a lesson that comes from it. And for me, it was, I wasn't ready. I wouldn't have been ready to birth this baby vaginally, you know, 11 years ago, no chance at all. And one of the things that came up curiously was a video that I was shown when I was about 13 years old at school, a video of a woman giving birth standing, which is fine. You can give birth while you're standing. But the thing that freaked me out the most was the obstetrician had his hands below her. This baby just popped out, and he literally like caught the baby. But when I saw that, and you've got no context around how birth actually happens and how it can happen, when you see that as a young girl, you think, oh my God, I don't want, like, what the hell? What is that? And then you like close your legs. And that was my reaction, closing my legs and just turning the other way, because I didn't want to know about it. And that's very much how I led through my previous two pregnancies. But then obviously I got learning about birth. I got understanding how it works, the hormones and everything, from training, from doing a number of courses and training as a perinatal educator and beyond. That then during the actual process of being pregnant, it was the mind that needed to catch up with everything else that I had learned. And that was the thing. It wasn't just the mind. It was also the body experiences that we hold, because on a cellular level, our body stores the trauma. And it's one of those things, for hormones to work, for birth to work, we've got to feel safe within our body. So I decided to go on this long venture of preparing my mind and my body to birth in the system. If I would do it again now, probably not, because it was really risky as ever. But I wanted to see whether the work I did on myself would get me through the system without going through a third cesarean. And thankfully it did. And then from that moment onwards, I thought, wow, this is something. This is something that everyone needs to know. They can do it. They can totally do it. And that's, I think, what got me in a long, long story to doing the work that I do when it comes to VBACs.
What time did you get to the hospital?
I didn't take on any cervical examinations. And by the way, I started off in the birth center, which that hospital that I was at, I had to go through a whole birth choices appointment meeting with the head of midwifery, who was basically saying to me, oh, you're literally the first person that's coming in here that's had two cesareans. So I was like, great, that's amazing. So maybe this opens up the doors for you guys to actually see that it is possible. Labored in the birth center. But again, because being in the system, they have very, you know, specific timings. It's the time pressures that get put on you. And the fact of the people that are surrounding you, if they don't fully believe that you can do this, that's going to impact your journey also. And I had a lot of that I was up against. The midwife that I originally started off with, I could feel it in her vibe that she didn't think that I could do this. There was just a part of me that thought, she doesn't believe that I can do this. And that was something that really kind of slowed things down for me. And that's why I say, like, looking back now, would I do it again? No, I would choose my team. I would make sure that the people that are in with me would be fully knowledgeable in a sense about VBACs, but not only that, that they could fully believe that it is possible and that I could do it, because there's nothing worse than being in a room where people aren't fully trusting. I did labor for quite a few days. That's the other thing. And again, that was all down to the fact of the surroundings where I was at, the people that surrounded me too. At one point, there was a wobble. I called Kemi Johnson and I was like, Kemi, I don't know what else to do. I'm so tired. She's like, Carmen, you need to sleep. I know I need to sleep. They're pressuring me to go up to the labor ward because it's taking too long. And it was like literally every hour they were coming at me. You know, we really recommend you go up. You can do what you want, but we really recommend you go up because you're taking this amount of time. Later, I found out that the reason for that wasn't because it was taking too long. It was because they had the birth center was closed because they were short-staffed. So they put that upon me also, which was really crappy looking back. And it's one of those things. At that point in time, I just, you know, after speaking with Kemi, she said, you know, you need to sleep. And I thought, what is the one way that I can actually get some sleep? And I thought, I'm just going to have to ask for an epidural and get at least a few hours of sleep. So I asked for a low dose epidural. And literally the minute that was given on the transfer up to the labor ward, I remember being on a pushchair, God, on a wheelchair. Yeah, going up on a wheelchair and just literally, I was on my knees because I could feel the labor was happening all in the back, which led me to believe that baby was in a back-to-back position. And I was basically hugging the wheelchair. And I remember this voice coming into my head and saying, that's it, Carmen, it's game over. You're going up to the labor ward. You're not getting this VBAC. You're going to end up with a repeat cesarean. And I remember that happening for like 30 seconds. And think of all the people you're letting down. You're letting yourself down. All the people you've told you're having a VBAC. And then I was like, oh my God, shut up. No, I am going to get this. Like, no, I'm getting this VBAC. No. This VBAC is happening. All I need is to sleep and that's it. I'm good. That's all I need. So I went upstairs and had the epidural. As the epidural started working, I lay on my side. The midwife got a peanut ball, put it in between my legs so I could rest on my side rather than on my back. Literally seconds later, my husband was like, you were out for the count. You were just snoring away. I was like, I was so tired. So I slept for about 2 or 3 hours. And then afterwards, labor continued on. I asked them not to tell me how far along I was. I didn't want to know how dilated I was because I didn't want that to impact what was going on in my mind. I later found out something, which I'll come to in a sec, but they didn't say anything. Only towards the end, just before she was born, did they do another one. And then they said, oh, you're fully dilated. So I guess baby will be coming in a little bit or whatever. Leading up to that, I got the obstetricians coming in. Well, we're going to give you another couple of hours. And if nothing is happening, then we strongly recommend you have another cesarean. I'd look at them, I'd smile, and in my head I'd be thinking, if you think I'm getting on that operating table, you've got another thing coming. It's not happening.
And I love it.
Such a great midwife at that point, because she wanted to make sure that I got this. She had had two previous cesareans. She didn't want a third baby because she was worried that she wouldn't be able to have a VBAC. She was there sort of willing everything to go. So she'd go out and check to see what they were doing, what the obstetricians were up to. Like, we had such a connection, even though I felt really shit for the person being on that operating table. Like, for me, I was thinking, oh my God, this is all working out in favor. I was on the continuous fetal monitoring, which again, I know does not improve outcomes, but I thought, you know what, let me write it out. Let's see what happens with this. The baby's heart rate was perfect. Like, the midwife afterwards said to me, we could actually take this and you could frame this, because that's how perfect it was. Like, there were no issues. Baby was happy inside. Like, everything. I felt so relaxed and so confident with a deep knowing that it was all going to work out. And yeah, when I started experiencing the sensations of bearing down, that I felt everything. The epidural had started to wear down. And at that point in time, the midwife said to me, oh, can you just lie on your back? And like a good girl, I still went to, but then afterwards I was like, because it started hurting me. I said, no, I don't want to lie on my back. I don't want to lie on my back. So then I asked my husband to help me, and he helped turn me over, and I was on my knees. 16 minutes later, my daughter was born.
Wow, wow, wow. No need for any other assistance, nothing.
Nothing. No. Gosh, so, and that was amazing, because that midwife got to see that a VBAC was possible after two cesareans.
Mm-hmm.
And also an obstetrician walked in at the moment that I was birthing, that I was giving birth to her, and they were gobsmacked because they had never seen a woman birth on her knees like I was birthing.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, okay, interesting. That opened up things for people that needed to be in that room. So when I look back and I think, okay, yes, it was, I did labor for over 48 hours, almost 48 hours. But when I look back, I think, had that not happened, the people that were in the room at the time that she was born wouldn't have been in the room at that time. Mm-hmm. So for me, it all worked out divinely.
Yeah.
I later went on, a few months later, after giving birth to my daughter, I asked to have a debrief because I wanted to understand what had happened. But when I look back at certain parts of the birth, there were elements that happened which weren't in the notes. And when I explained it to the person that was doing the debrief with me, they were shocked. Because at one point in time, when I said I felt the urge to bear down when I was still in the birth center, the midwife was telling me to push, that she could see the baby's head. And there was no baby's head there. And none of that was written in the notes. That was just potentially an adjustment with baby, because I'd never given birth vaginally before. For me, it felt like it could have potentially been the bearing down, but it wasn't. It was just like potential an adjustment, maybe a bit of pressure of baby's head in a certain part. And that felt like the need to bear down, but it wasn't the actual bearing down that I felt when I gave birth to her. So things like that got kind of taken out of the notes, which I'm not okay with, because I think notes need to be transparent, and they weren't. When it came to the VEs, at one point when they did do the VE, I was 5 centimeters. Then they did another VE later on, I was 8 centimeters. And this must have been, I have a feeling, whilst I was still in the birth center. And then it went back down to 5 centimeters. So our body has the ability to close down when it's not feeling safe, being the case also, which again caused an additional delay for me. So this is why this podcast is so important, because mm-hmm. I need you guys to understand that the location where you're deciding to have your VBAC, the people that are surrounding the space with you, like, they need to be fully believing and trusting that you can do.
So I'm going to come on to talk about how planning for a VBAC is different to just a vaginal birth without a cesarean. So we can talk about that. Why do you think cesareans are on the rise? Because we know they are. Why?
Induction. Yeah, induction of labor is soaring through the roof. I've been in contact with some midwives that mention that their trust, the induction rates are over 70%, which is pretty alarming. Some other hospitals, obviously, it's between 30-40%, depending on the trust, but it's definitely the induction. The rise in inductions is what's causing the rise in cesarean births. Also, even when they start the induction process, they don't give the woman, the person, the time that the body needs sometimes to be able to process through things. They'll make stuff up, unfortunately. I've seen it happen multiple times. I've heard it happen multiple times where they make things up just to will the woman person into a cesarean. Yeah, unfortunately, that is the big thing. It's definitely the induction roller coaster that we're going through right now.
Yeah, I would agree. And also the CTG. So induction combined with CTG is also the...
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. Because the thing is, the CTG, as I mentioned, it does not improve your chances. It literally doesn't. It doesn't improve anything, you know, the outcomes. It just doesn't. And yes, that is one big thing. I mean, I had a client that I spoke with that I was supporting for a period of time, and her cesarean ended up being as a result of the CTG monitoring that she had. The obstetrician took out the CTG monitoring from her baby and compared it to the CTG monitoring of another baby, and then showed it to the father. So didn't even have the consideration of having the mother, because the mother had an epidural in situ. She was absolutely fine, comfortable. She could have had this conversation, but manipulated the father first, and then both of them together pressured the mother into the cesarean. So like, this stuff is happening, guys. It's real and it is happening out there. Things that are being told to women, which make no sense at all. You know, someone was told the other day that they needed a cesarean because their placenta had moved down and that baby couldn't come out. This is why I say educating yourselves, really becoming aware of, you know, your body, the birth journey, because the fear mongering that is happening is huge. And if you haven't worked through the fears that you're holding in your body, that you're storing in your body, you will say yes, you'll comply just because you're afraid of something, whatever that fear might be. So going into birth, when I tell my clients, like, you can go into birth without fear. You can, because I used to be the biggest scaredy cat ever, like terrified of birth. You know, I would look at a baby's head crowning in a book. And that book, if I saw that baby's head crowning, the immediate reaction was to close the book and close my legs and just forget about it, you know, thinking, how am I going to do this? You know, how can this happen or whatever? And if you don't address that and understand to where that fear really comes from and where it stems from, and you go into birth and then you get presented with something, you're going to be making a fear-based decision rather than a heartfelt decision, because we hold all of the answers within our body, within our heart space. But the issue is that we're so disconnected from our body that we would rather hear the noise that's happening externally than really tap into ourselves and ask ourselves for the answer.
Yeah. And what you've said is just relevant to anyone.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So when I work with my clients doing the hypnobirthing, often if the mum is going for a VBAC, she'll ask me, what do you think? Do you think I should just have another cesarean to have more control over the situation? Is it going to be a headache? You know, just tell me the truth, because if I'm going to be fighting an upward hill battle, then maybe actually planning a peaceful and gentle cesarean would be better. It's a frequent conversation that I'm having. And it's interesting. I don't think I have the answer to that. Yeah. What's your view on that question?
So in my point of view, anyone that is already entertaining the fact of having a VBAC, like I say, tune into it and really go with that nudge that you're getting from within. If that's the original nudge that you've had, you're planning for a VBAC, I say go for it. The key thing that you need to be looking at is really helping release any trauma that you have surrounding your previous birth. And that's something that I usually take my clients in through a deep process when we work on a one-to-one basis, and we clear away any sort of emotional charge that they have towards, you know, that specific birth that they hold. And the thing is, sometimes it might not just be the birth. It could be something else that stems from the younger years that comes up that could potentially block them or stop them from achieving this next level birth. we want to be sure that we're clearing that. We want to be sure that we are practicing forgiveness, because when you're able to forgive, everything can open up. And it doesn't mean that you've got to physically go into the hospital and forgive the midwife that wronged you or the doctor. It's about releasing the energy. It's about releasing those feelings that you're holding within you, because we're all energy. Energy is everywhere. And the minute that you can release that, that just opens up for so much more possibility. Yeah. The other thing also is, of course, becoming more in tune, tapping more into your body. It's really understanding at a deep level why you want this, okay? Why you want this birth, why you want this feedback. That was a big thing for me, was really understanding what my why was. If you can really understand what the why is, and I know we'll talk about that in a little bit, but that's going to be another big thing that is going to help you. So when I look at it and when I think, you know, is a VBAC better? Is a C-section better? They're both valid. However, if you've had that original thought process of wanting a VBAC, I say go for it, prepare for it, even though you don't know what the outcome is going
to
be.
I mean, I always think it's wise to think about having a cesarean, whether it's an emergency, you know, just in case, you know, to plan for that. But it feels like with the VBAC conversation, because it is different to planning, if you haven't had a cesarean, there are the fears from the system and, you know, you are, depending on your scenario, you could be categorized as high risk and you just are treated differently. So therefore that then surely affects your chances of being able to have a vaginal birth. So then it's also wise to prepare for that potential reality of having a cesarean. Because don't you think if you just go, right, oh, I just want this VBAC and I put the, you know, don't want to entertain anything, then if you do end up having an emergency cesarean, wouldn't you just feel like I've just wasted all that time and I feel like, you know, God forbid I failed?
Yeah, not necessarily. The thing is, with VBAC, the one major thing that people are worried about is the uterine rupture. Okay, yes, that's the one big thing that they worry about is the uterine rupture. But the rate is so small. It's like there's studies that are showing that it's a 0.18% chance with the first cesarean that there is a chance that the uterus could potentially rupture, which the chances are really, really tiny. Low, literally tiny. And that's the thing. That's the big thing that comes through with a lot of people is the worry about the uterine rupture rate. The thing is, when you start digging into the deeper work, when you start releasing those fears, you'll find that everything will potentially go really, really well. I had no fear going in. I didn't have a cesarean plan. I'd researched, obviously, I've researched every type of birth, but I didn't feel I needed to research a cesarean or what I wanted or even write it down on paper. I kind of just left it and I trusted. I fell into the trust. Now, I usually tell my clients, look at all the options, like learn about it, look into it, but write one plan only. One plan that you want to focus on and speak to your partner, speak to your doula about.
That's interesting, actually.
Yeah. Speak about the additional things that you would want if there was an event where there was an emergency. But I don't want you focusing on that, because where you what you focus on, that's where your attention goes, you know, your energy flows. And a lot of people don't agree with my method of doing that, but I feel that for me, it's worked really well. For my clients, it's working well also. That's the thing. It doesn't mean that you will end up with a successful VBAC, that you'll end up with another cesarean. It doesn't mean anything about that, but it's just simply helping you realize and plan for the thing that you do want and releasing the focus of the thing that you don't want. I've had clients of mine where there's been a lot of the what ifs, and they message me, oh, Carmen, what if this happens? What if that happens? If that's happening for you, you're not ready for this. I'm just going to put it out there right now. You're not ready for it. Okay. Because if you've got the what if, there's still an element of fear that you're holding on to. There is still an element of doubt in yourself. There's an element of doubt that you can't do this. And that's why that's coming up. And if that is coming up, I want you to ask yourself, why? Why am I fearing this? Like, I asked a question in my stories a while back about uterine rupture. And I said and I asked it on the poll. I said, who's, you know, what's your worry about birth? Is it like uterine rupture? Is it this? Is it that? And majority of people answered uterine rupture. So I said, okay, well, what is your fear behind the uterine rupture? Like, what is your fear behind the uterine rupture? Because again, you've never had a uterine rupture before. You know, the people that are coming to me haven't. I've never had anyone that has. What is your fear behind it? Like, why are you fearing it happening? And then they'll like maybe go away and they'll journal on it. And some of them will come up with their own responses, or some of them will say like, I don't know. Maybe it's because everyone else is afraid of it. I'm afraid of it too, kind of thing. You know, it's looking at all of that in a lot more in depth. And I think when it comes to VBACs, you've got to be fully, fully in it. Like, you can't be half-assing it. And that's why I say to people, you know, one of the questions is like the hoping for a VBAC. And it's like, if you're hoping for a VBAC, you're not going to get it.
I'm hoping for a home birth, similar sort of thing, right?
Exactly right. Yeah.
Basically, do you think someone who wants to plan for a VBAC can just take an online hypnobirthing course? Do they need more? Would you say that they actually need to maybe speak to someone directly who can kind of lead them and hold their hands? Or are they able to do it just by doing their own research?
For me personally, you could potentially go down the route of doing a hypnobirthing course if you wanted to. Whether that's going to be enough, it depends on what your previous birth was like, depends how much trauma you're holding on to. I always recommend, you know, doing some one-to-one work around trauma if they have had a traumatic experience. There's a VBAC course that Kemi and myself have put together, which is called Unleash Your VBAC Power, which goes into, you know, it goes into the research that she covers. It goes into physiological birth.
Is that online?
Yeah. So that's all recorded. There's some mindset work in there. Is it a full hypnobirthing course that's in there? No, you'd still need to do a hypnobirthing course if you haven't done one. But that's just a good way to help you understand how you can navigate maternity services, getting you started with a bit of mindset work, a bit of information about the research and that sort of element of things. So that's really, really helpful.
Is it just like video, audio, or...
Yeah, video, audio. There's also some meditations in there. I do like a little forgiveness piece in there too, to help them, you know, forgive anything that needs to be forgiven from previous births, even birth partners. You know, a lot of women, people hold grudges towards their birth partner because they were in the time where they felt most vulnerable and their birth partner didn't really know how to support them. And there's a lot of resentment towards them because they let the midwife, the healthcare provider, mistreat them or force them into a certain thing, you know, whereas had they potentially had someone else like a doula or another person present that could have advocated for them in a better way, the result that they had probably wouldn't have been a cesarean potentially. But there's sometimes a lot of hard feelings towards birth partners, which I feel is really important to learn to help release and to forgive. For anyone that does sign up to one-to-ones, I always get the birth partners to have a session too, because you'd be surprised at the amount of trauma that they're holding on to from attending the birth and witnessing, you know, their partner, their wife going through that sort of experience, how impactful it would have been on them too.
Yeah, I've worked with clients where the birth partners actually carried more trauma, and it's not been discussed, so actually it comes out in that meeting and then the wife's like, what? I had no idea. And so I think what you said about if you are carrying trauma from your previous birth and you're going for a VBAC, then it might be helpful to have some one-to-one, some guidance to work through your trauma, because a standard hypnobirthing course is probably not going to be enough. I would agree with that.
So one of the key things, because I know a lot of people are very focused on the evidence, and I know a lot of people focus in on, oh, but the uterine rupture rate is this amount and this could happen and this is what the evidence states. And I kind of want you to remember one thing, is that you are not part of that study. You are not part of that piece of research. You are your own unique person. And this is for everyone, anyone that is planning a VBAC, that is planning a physiological birth, that, you know, whatever type of birth you're planning, like, this is for everyone. That number means absolutely nothing about you. There's been occasions, even during my pregnancy with my daughter Luna, that I didn't even think that what happened in the way that it did. And I'm going to give you an example, which was at my 20-week scan, when they checked to see the positioning of the placenta, my placenta was sitting really low, like quite substantially low. And also, there looked like there was a chance that the placenta was attached to my uterine scar. And if that was the case, that would have been a game over when it comes to having a VBAC. We continued on the pregnancy, and she said, you know, come, we'll book you in for another scan at 32 weeks where we can actually see what's going on with the placenta. We can see what's happening with you and we can take it from there. So I said, great, let's do that. So we booked in the scan, and then I came away, and as I opened up the door, I said to myself, the placenta is going to move. Everything is going to be fine. The uterine scar isn't even going to be visible. It's going to move. It's not going to be an issue. I'm going to do this. This is going to work. Everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to work out. And I literally went on this rant all the way up until I got to my car. I sat down on my car and I was like, that's it. It's done. I don't need to think about it. I don't need to worry about it. It's done. I went in for my 32-week scan, and the sonographer checked me out. They did both an internal and an external scan. And the placenta had moved. It was sitting up high, which is what I'd originally said. And I knew it was going to move anyway. But my main concern was the scar, the placenta being attached to the scar, adhered to the scar. And then when I asked, oh, okay, what about the scar? And her response to me was, what scar? My cesarean scar? Oh, I can't see a scar here. I was like, oh, interesting. Okay, great. And then I came away and I was like, wow,
oh my God.
I can't believe that that just happened. I do firmly believe that the body has the capability of healing itself, but you've got to, I mean, this is next level conversations that we're having here now. Not many people are going to believe this. Not many people are going to take this on board, but your body has the full capability to be able to heal itself. There is someone by the name of Dr. Joe Dispenza, which if you guys aren't familiar with his work, I definitely recommend you have a look at his work. Through the power of meditation, through the power of thought, through the power of vision, you can change your reality. And that's why I say, like, don't hold on to those numbers. Those numbers mean absolutely nothing about you. But the key thing is that you begin understanding who the version of yourself is that has already achieved your VBAC. Like, who is she? Visualize yourself having that VBAC. See what you're doing, who you are, how you're being, you know, what language you're using, how you feel, and then connect with that and then start taking the moves that that person takes. Because when you can vision it and then you start moving towards it, that's when you can actually have it and achieve it. And a lot of people don't understand that, because we try all of our lives to control every single outcome. And there comes a time in birth, be it a VBAC, be it a physiological birth, where you just need to let go and surrender to it. And this is the big issue that a lot of women, a lot of people are having, is the letting go and the surrendering. With VBACs, it's the same thing. I've seen women in VBACs laboring for 4 days. 4 days, and we're like, okay, what's going on? Talk to me. What's happening? And it's the control. The minute that they release the control, the minute that they surrender, their bodies open like a flower. And it's just like, boom, baby comes out. And it's like, huh, interesting. So there's a lot of different things that you guys need to really understand about yourselves. But for me, it all starts with the inner work. The more you can start digging into your inner world, the more your outer world will change and shift. And same goes with preparation for VBAC.
Tell us, where can people find you and what services can you offer?
Absolutely. So you can find me on Instagram at the Quantum Birth Doula. The services I have are the Unleash Your VBAC Power Course. We've got also the one-to-one coaching. I am a birth doula. I do attend mainly the VBAC births, but for anyone that is listening that feels they are enjoying my vibe, that maybe want to reach out and have me as their doula and they're not a VBAC, I do take some clients on that aren't VBACs necessarily.
What area are you in?
Oh, I'm based in London. So yeah, London area I cover and surrounding areas too. But mind you, I have traveled to Cardiff before to support a birth in Cardiff from London for one of my one-to-one clients. So there is a possibility too if you're a bit further out than London.
I got a request the other day to go to Abu Dhabi.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Sorry, carry on.
Yeah, so I have a one-to-one birth mindset coaching. I'm also a quantum coach. So my page is all about birth and business too, because in my point of view, I feel that they are both very connected. The birth and the business are really connected. And I feel that when you're able to achieve that next level birth, you almost become a version of yourself that, you know, it's almost like when you get that V back, when you have that dream birth, it's like, whoa, I did this. What else can I do? Like the possibilities just open up. And for me, they are very connected. So I do also quantum coaching and life coaching too with my clients. So yeah, there's a variety of different services offered. And I've literally just written also a chapter in a book that's called Leading with Light, which is really exciting. So yeah, it's all explaining my experience from the birth perspective as well as the business perspective and how there is a connection between it. And we've also got the podcast that Kemi and I are starting, which is Unleash Your Vibe Power.
When is this happening?
So we've already started recording some of the sessions and we're planning on launching it roughly around the second week of October. I've just got to catch up with a few of the editing bits and bobs.
Oh my God, please, please send me that link and I can include it because I've listened to all of Kemi's podcasts. I can't get enough of her. Please tell her that. Yeah. Well, it's been absolutely lovely chatting to you. Let's stay on for a bit and chat once I've stopped recording. But thank you so much. I'm sure you'll get lots of people reaching out. And yeah, thank you. It's been brilliant.
Amazing. Aww.